Just like the majority of you watching right now, throughout my life I have changed my position on numerous things because it really only makes sense to do so if you're the least bit open-minded. For example, I was raised very Christian, but I was always very skeptical of spirituality and religion and all that stuff. And trying to reconcile belief in God with like the lack of evidence led me into being a new agey type of person in the 90s, you know, a little bit. By a little bit, I mean and that the skepticism ended up bringing me into atheism, into just being, don't believe in a God at all. Although most atheists would say that I'm a bad atheist because I'm not as cynical as they are. At any rate, throughout all of these different changes in my positions, one thing that's always fascinated me was crystals. And I don't mean the crystals that you find a dude on this homeless street corner that kind of looks like me. He's asking you for money so he can get some. I don't mean that, and I don't mean that clear Pepsi that we used to drink in the 90s. I'm talking about the kind of crystals that the new agey people like to run around with and say that they heal you. No, I mean the pretty rocks that humans have been digging up, buying, stealing, fighting for, using as jewelry, and treating as magical for a very long time. And there's so many people that believe this sort of thing that if you look in your hometown, you'll probably find a store that sells pretty rocks. And if you look at the price of geodes, these things are through the roof in the last 10 years. But if you know me, you know I'm skeptical. You know, this is the kind of thing that I am definitely going to kick the tires of. If somebody says, hey man, sapphires are going to give you riches, I'm asking why sapphires are for sale. Why isn't the guy that's got them already have enough money and that rock just keep making him more? That's the kind of thinking that I have. So despite my skepticism of the lists of stones and their supposed benefits, the fact is, almost every culture we are aware of valued shiny rocks. And that makes me think it's wrong to be overly skeptical of this idea out of hand. Should probably look at it a little bit. So I was going to make a quick little video talking about that and get it out before Christmas, but as I started doing research, holy crap, man. There might actually be something to what these guys are talking about here. So sit yourself down and let's talk about magic rocks. Hi, my name is Dan and welcome to Dedunking. Now, before we dive headlong into the crystals, I do want to discuss the idea that got me going on this to begin with. Capsium, hot peppers, they are eaten near the equator, not in the northern and southern latitudes nearly as much. And scientists posit that the reason that they do that is because hot peppers kill bacteria quite a bit. And since these parts of the world deal with much more bacteria, this is very beneficial. And this concept has been researched and tested to a degree. To quote a PBS summary of the work of Cornell biologists Jennifer Billing and Paul Sherman, the Cornell scientists tested the bacteria killer hypothesis with hundreds of cookbooks and thousands of recipes from around the world. They discovered that spices with the greatest ability to kill bacteria, such as garlic and onions, appear most often, and in greater concentrations, in recipes from hot climates. 80% of Indian recipes called for onions, while in Norway, the pungent bulb only appeared in 20% of the recipes. They even found these differences in the United States. For example, we have spicy Cajun meals down south and more bland meat staples in northern Maine. Now bear with me here, I'm not about to start teaching you how to make Kung Pao chicken. My point here is that the people in that part of the world are eating these things to help kill bacteria, and they don't really know that that's the reason why. They just like it. It just tastes good. This is their natural reaction to it. And so science looks at these sorts of things. You also see science making the same kind of argument when atheists look at why religion is so ubiquitous. It's a psychological thing is the argument. And same kind of thing. They look, when something happens everywhere, science tends to attribute that to evolution. So with that in mind, let's take a look at crystals. And when we do that, guess what one comes to the top of the list? Ta-da! Quartz. Most of you will have heard of the piezoelectric effect. It's a name for the release of electricity when a piezoelectric element, such as quartz, is physically stressed. You'll see that piezoelectric effect used like in charcoal igniters, for example. They just use a spring and a little button and they hit a piece of quartz and it sends a little spark and bing, bang, boom, you got your ignition. But this also works backwards. If you send a electric current into a piece of quartz, it will vibrate at a specific frequency depending on the size of the quartz. For example, a lot of watches, you see quartz timed watches, they're using a little quartz tuning fork and they just keep getting popped with electricity and they vibrate really, 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 really fast, and this allows the watch to be extremely accurate. Nowadays, we make all manner of piezoelectric crystals for use in electronics and other things, but quartz is still one of the most commonly used materials because it's naturally available and ready to use. Man-made materials require a lengthy process of polarizing the electric potential in the material to make it useful, but quartz works without all that effort. And big surprise, vibrations have been shown to have an effect on human health. In fact, they use different frequency vibrations to heal organs, to heal bones, to help tissues regenerate. That's a really deep rabbit hole. I'll put some links down below. But the bottom line here is, if there was thousands of years ago a group of people that were using crystals, they could potentially have calibrated them and got the right vibrations out of quartz and used them to regenerate bones or help organs or stuff like that. There could be a grain of truth to this, and it could be the leftover memory of a lost technology or a lost application of this stuff. And that's, you know, it gets kind of wild, like I said, getting out there a little bit, but the bottom line here is, you can't really dismiss this. Again, we've got a lot of different people around the world that are abusing these kinds of things. But at any rate, this isn't the only stone that does this sort of thing, right? We have a lot of other rocks. Not a lot. We have topaz, we have Rochelle salt, and then we have this thing called tourmaline. Now, tourmaline is an amazing stone. It's slow to spread its atoms from the densest area to the least dense. And this causes the stones to have different colors, and this difference allows geologists to use tourmaline as a lens, basically, into deep time, a way for them to see the different forces the crystal experienced over the ages. And like quartz, it's piezoelectric. But it's also got another quality called pyroelectric, which means when you apply heat to it, it gains an electric charge. In fact, the electric charge that it gains can happen on a raw stone sitting out in the sun, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. But that's not all. Tourmaline straight up has health benefits. In a paper titled Pyroelectricity as a Possible Mechanism for Cell Membrane Permeabilization, which was presented to the International Union of Radio Science in 2018, the authors say the following. As deeply studied by many authors, the exposure of biological membranes to electric fields can modify their permeability to molecular species in a phenomenon known as electroporation or electropermeabilization. Electropermeabilization of the cell membrane leads to a transient increase in the permeability of the cells due to the presence of an external electric field that provokes reversible changes in the lipid bilayer organization. Using a classical test to reveal electropermeabilization, we could demonstrate that the presence of tourmaline nanocrystals resulted in cells' transient permeabilization only if tourmaline nanocrystals had been subjected to a previous charge in temperature responsible for the generation of pyroelectricity in these crystals. We conclude that in the present study, the pyroelectric-mediated cell permeabilization could be the result of this type of cell permeabilization. Permeabilization is opening a cell's pores so it will accept things like drugs or gene therapy that it would otherwise reject or just be immune to. So this is something that is extremely useful. It's used a lot with like gene therapy, for example. But what's more is we know that electromagnetic fields affect humans. This is something that's well documented, and they use this also to affect all kinds of things, like diabetes and again with organ regeneration and healing and stuff. And as a quick aside, I have to say here, even though I'm not like worried about 5G personally, I do think it is absolutely hilarious that the guys that are worried about 5G are treated like absolute crackpot loons by the skeptical people when the skeptical people know that electromagnetic fields affect biological organisms. To me, that's just so fucking weird. But anyway, back to the video. Another scientist, geologist Mario Iglesias Martinez, has this to say about tourmaline. But tourmaline is not just pretty, it's a natural dynamo, permanently emitting negative ions and far infrared radiation. This creates an electrostatic field and releases rare microelements. The result? A boost for microorganisms and plants, countering the effect of environmental pollution. Right now, tourmaline is being used in water treatment applications. It's being used to lower the viscosity and surface tension of diesel fuel. Tourmaline is the kind of thing that it is very possible that you could be holding a piece of tourmaline in your hand and it have some health benefit to your little vitamin T, if you want to call it that. But, you know, that's me getting off into the weeds a little bit here, right? I'm speculating. Let's look at the rocks that the people that are into this stuff, what do they say that you should be getting? What rocks do they say you should put in your hands, you should put in your collection to heal yourself with or to make your life better?
Hey, are you confused with which crystals to start with as a beginner? Or perhaps are you a seasoned crystal collector that has missed a few of these? Well, you've come to the right place, because in this video, I'm going to be sharing with you my 10 must-have crystals for everyone on their crystal healing journey.
This man was chosen as the ambassador from the crystal healing community because when I looked up crystal healing on YouTube, his was the first video with the top 10 list that wasn't like an hour long. So here we go.
And in no particular order, we have number one, which is clear quartz, which is the master healer.
And the first one that he picks, quartz, as we've already discussed, has piezoelectric properties. Carry on, sir.
Up next, we have amethyst, which is the psychic temple of the crystal world.
And while we haven't spoken about amethyst directly, we kind of have, because amethyst is just a variation of quartz, and yes, it still has piezoelectric properties.
Next, we have rose quartz, which is the earth mother of the mineral kingdom.
All quartz has piezoelectric properties.
And next up, we have tiger's eye, which is a confidence builder.
Tiger's eye? What the hell's that? Tiger's eye is a beautiful quartz gemstone.
So next we have satin spar selenite, which is the sword of light.
Selenite is a type of gypsum, and it's not piezoelectric, and it doesn't have any of those kinds of goofy properties. But it can if there's copper mingled in with it. But just assuming that that has nothing to do with it, at this point we have 4 out of the 5 stones that he's talking about that do potentially have the ability to help a human body.
Black tourmaline is the earth guardian.
Tourmaline, if you recall, is the stone that I said was changing diesel fuel and cleaning water and permeating cells and all kinds of stuff, right? So, yeah, and it's piezoelectric as well. So, yeah, we, at this point, we're 5 out of 6.
Next is carnelian, which is the motivator of the world of gemstones.
Carnelian is quartz with some iron oxide coloring it. At this point, we are 6 out of 7.
Which register should we go to?
Next is smoky quartz, which is the negativity booster.
I'll give you 3 guesses what kind of mineral smoky quartz is.
And citrine is the prosperity magnet.
And citrine is also a type of quartz. This puts us at 8 of 9.
And hematite is the knight in shining armor of the mineral kingdom.
Hematite is a weird type of iron crystal that's not magnetic like other iron is, but it isn't piezoelectric, so we'll put it in the category of crystals that don't work, that we are aware of. Science hasn't proven that they work. That still puts us at 8 out of 10 that could potentially have some sort of benefit, and I don't think that that is happenstance. I don't think that that's chance that has him getting 80% of his crystals are ones that could work. And in fact, I think this is a lot like astrology, where the modern day astrology, I don't think is very accurate. I think that modern astrology is built on a lot of presupposition, but it's also informed by a kernel of truth. And that kernel of truth is a long time ago, people could tell the future by seeing the stars, and other people didn't know what they were doing. Esoteric knowledge, mystical knowledge, magical knowledge. I think we have the same kind of thing here. I think that people were able to, or some people still do, get benefits from these crystals, but it gets extrapolated into this one does that, and that one does this, and this one does that, and that one does this. And a lot of that's going to be the placebo effect. Placebo effect is really, really, really strong, especially if it has a little kernel of truth to work with, like the crystal actually affecting you on a level that you can't quite put your finger on, but it is changing you. And despite the fact that I'm a skeptical person, I am one that will tell you, you should not deny yourself access to the placebo effect. You are denying yourself access to power. Esprit de corps is a concept that in the military translates basically to elitism. It's belief that your group is the best damn group out there. The military uses this because it gets results. Coaches do this. Corporations do this. Even street gangs do this because it works. The thing is, belief in something just because you think it's true or feel it's true, that's usually not a good way to run through life. I mean, con men and magicians alike take advantage of this thing, and there's a lot of other people that'll pick at it too. But if you have beliefs that aren't opening you up to attack and that don't make you hurt other people, that's an important one as well, there's nothing wrong with having a belief that isn't founded in science or founded in anything that you can prove. It's a personal thing, right? But if you feel that this rock is doing something more than what I just said it did, don't throw it away because of what I just said. You know, let your mind and your body and it all work together. I mean, you know, color is a big deal for food, right? And it changes the way food tastes in about 30% of people. Again, placebo effect, very strong. They have that test that they did to the mice the mice were to swim, and then they were stuck them in an environment where they couldn't get out. After like 15, 20 minutes, the mice give up. They're tired. They're upset. They feel like they're going to croak. Next time they put them in, they give them like 5 minutes, pull them out again. And the next time they put them in, the mice don't give up for 60 hours. The first time, 15, 20 minutes, they give up. After they know that there is potentially light at the end of the tunnel, they don't give up for days. Mind over matter, in that case, it's not using your mind to make your body stronger. Their minds were stopping their body from accessing its full potential. Don't do that to yourself by being a skeptic, says the skeptic. And that brings me to my last point. One of the things that I see often spoken of is crystals carrying computer information from long ago. And it is true that lasers nowadays are used to etch computer data into quartz. It's something that we can see if you look at it with a microscope. So if someone tells you the crystal they're holding has computer data on it, there should be some sign or some mark somehow. But the other thing that I hear sometimes talked about is like storing it in crystals. Makes me think that it's referencing like ferrite core memory, because some crystals can have their magnetic poles could be flip-flopped by an external magnetic field. And back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, computer memory was often used in these things where each individual bit was basically a piece of metal that was magnetized, and the North Pole going that way would be a 1, and the North Pole going that way would be a 0, or vice versa. And this was a way for them to store a lot of data. This is a way for them to store data without requiring power to keep it viable. It just was magnetized and they could walk away from it. Ferrite core memory is what it's known as, and it's the kind of thing where if they made one out of these in 20,000 years ago, a computer was made and it had a ferrite core memory system, each crystal would only have been a 0 or a 1, so holding it in your hand isn't going to have anything more than a magnetic field attached to it. So that's another one that I don't think, I'm not saying that there's no way that anybody put any computer information on these things, I just get a lot more skeptical about it, and a lot of the people that are saying that sort of thing seem to be trying to make a buck off of it. But you know what? That is what it is. We're all looking through this world together, trying to find up from down and truth from fact from fiction and all that crap, which was what I was doing just a little bit ago this month up in, where is that place? At Scottsdale, Arizona. And I'm getting ready to go to Sedona, Arizona in just a few more months. There's a link down below to get tickets and stuff. You should go check it out. The last one was a lot of fun, and I'm going to be trying to do as many of these as I possibly can. You should come and check it out, shake my hand, yell at me, throw a rock. There's going to be other cool people there too. It's not just me. All right, thank you very much. I hope you have a great day, and again, don't discard your faith in yourself and your belief unless that's crossing a line to where you're being an asshole to other people. At that point, roll it back and realize it's personal. But keep that stuff. Be strong. And remember that your mind is a big part of that. Thanks a lot and have a good day.